Joshua chapter 11, verses 1 to 6. And it came to pass, when Jabin, king of Hazor, heard these things, that he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, the king of Shimron, to the king of Aksaph, and to the kings who were from the north, in the mountains, in the plains south of Chironoth, in the lowland, and in the heights of Dor on the west, to the Canaanites in the east and in the west, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Jebusite, in the mountains, and the Hivite below Hermon in the land of Mizpah. So they went out, they and all their armies with them, as many people as the sand that is on the seashore in multitude, with very many horses and chariots. And when all these kings had met together, they came and camped together at the waters in Merom to fight against Israel. But the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time I will deliver all of them slain before Israel. You shall hamstring their horses and burn their chariots with fire." Lord, cause us to understand, as we look into your word, how it is with you and your mankind. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All these kings were standing united against them, and still, in verse 6, the Lord says, "Don't be afraid." Easy for him to say, he's God. But he's God who has sought us out and will protect us. He will prevail if we're there for it. But if we keep trying to find the easy way out, or a shelf to hide behind, or a comfortable place, a place we like better, we're going to miss the action. The action of God proving to you that He's more than you actually believed. And until you come to the point where you end up saying, "Lord, I'm sorry, I have seriously underestimated you. You've never really been in the battlefront." That's where you need to be. That's where the action is. If you're bored going to church, it's probably because you've been avoiding the front line. The front line in your own life of saying, "Lord, come in and make yourself at home." Wow. So that's what he was saying to you. This was the opportunity he was granting to Israel and Joshua at that time. So what does God see when he looks at us, do you think? What's he looking at? Is he, "Oh no, I don't like that person. He's not very nice." What do you think he sees? Let me put it in a broad term before we narrow it down. He sees his investment. His creator. Our creator sees his creation. He's seen his investment. He's invested his life into us. You know, when he took the clay before he formed Adam and he went, he breathed his life into that piece of dirt and it became a person. Wow. Same thing. Same seriousness. He has invested his life in us. What do we see when we look at ourselves? We might just see ourselves, but if we are serving God, we will see Him also. You'll see both. Much clearer than you've ever seen it before. Which is good when it comes to seeing God, and awkward when it comes to seeing who we really are. You just saw who I really am. I don't know what's coming next even. Like Mal said, true words could never be spoken. You pay this guy. I'm not afraid of that. And I'm not ashamed of that. That's just who I am. But I have seen God work through me in spite of me. So I'm in. I'm in for it all. Just for that reason. It's really nice not being so horribly embarrassed anymore. I used to have the funny nickname here. Before we moved to Alberta, somewhat funny, Maria dubbed me the village idiot. Well, see, there's no harm in that. It was not slanderous. It was true. So then we moved to Alberta to a village so I could really be myself there. I'm not afraid of this. Are you afraid of this? You shouldn't be. When you look in the mirror, you see yourself and God. Don't be deathly afraid of either, to be responsive. Respond to God, who is working in you. Respond to yourself, who needs the work. Be available. Yes. And when we see this, when we see God and ourselves, when we see this, this will give us courage to what lies before us more than anything else. If you see those two in the proper light, you'll have the proper courage for the right task. Wow. So in this fighting situation, there are two perspectives to consider. The enemy has arisen up, and we're going to be destroyed. The second one, God has gathered them together to make things easier for us. Hallelujah! Nobody else is clapping. Perspective. The first perspective is that of ten of the 12 spies sent into the promised land to spy it out. And they came back and said, well, it's a great land. It's got it's amazing. It's got giants in it. As though the giants were their problem. Why do we always see things as our problem? Maybe if, as believers, it's not our problem. Maybe it's God's problem. Maybe it's our duty to yield to God in the midst of what has us stumped or blocked or shut down. Well, let God be God. That way you can be yourself. And we don't have to pretend. While we're into this, this was a setup. I think God did what he did at the beginning, although I can be that dumb on my own. But I think this is part of the sermon. So allow me to launch in a little further. There was a time in Alberta when I went to the guy in the sound box, and he'd always gave me the lapel mic. And he said, go ahead, turn it on. I've got it shut off here. Just as he did that this one morning, somebody else came and spoke with him. So he became distracted, I suppose. So just before I thought I would start preaching, I went into the office, which was just off the sanctuary. My nose needed to be blown. My nose is running, so I blew my nose. The place was just really loud with talking, and like church can be. And in the midst of it, and then it just became silent. Like, what? And you always have to have another. And everybody just roared. And Maria came running in. Wayne, your mic's on. Your mic's on. So there in a moment of panic, I thought, what do I do? I can just walk out the door and drive to the island and never show up again. That seemed like a very real option. The hardest one was just to simply walk out there and say, hi, I'm the guy that just blew his nose in the microphone. They had another good laugh, and then we carried on. But you know what? It gave them permission to still be God's child and less than perfect. You think God doesn't love you? That's a lie. Of course you're a mess. We're all a mess one way or another. Don't accept the mess. Don't get comfortable in the mess. But just realize that God loves you in spite of your mess. That's so important. It's so important. So I think that's probably what's happening here this morning. So don't be surprised by what I do and don't do. So, he had gathered all these people together to make it easier. But it wouldn't be easier without his help. It's never easier without his help. Not just that, he is our life. To deny that in a situation is to deny the life you need to live that situation. You don't have what it takes in that situation if you're not including Christ in it. I don't care if you're an equipment operator, a truck driver, a nurse, a doctor, daycare worker. It doesn't matter. If you don't spend some time staying close to Jesus in the midst of what you do, it's more than likely you will experience in that job a lack of his activity. You may be very busy through the day, but you'll lack the experience of his activity. I love it when God drives a truck. He is amazing. And
You may be smirking at this or laughing at me. You needed to be on the job sites that scared me half to death that I would accomplish it without wrecking something. Time and time and time again. People used to give me, I'm not bragging here, I'm just telling you how good of a driver God is. People used to give me tips for delivering their product because I put it someplace they didn't think I could. And they mistakenly thought that was me. And you know right now from what I just did, that wasn't me. That was Him. You want to see His activity in all the things you do. Don't wait until something goes wrong before you call out on God. Be His friend all the time. Anyway, the perspective of these two people. I only went into the first ones. They were afraid because there were giants in the land. And then there was Joshua and Caleb. And you can see the account in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. They're among the 12, right? Two, just two. And they were saying, well, wait a minute. God said that He gave us this land. That's our gift. We should show up so that we can have the gift. Why? What's wrong? Why you guys don't want to go? Because they're trusting in their own strength to get it done. Don't trust in your own strength to get it done. What Ken needs on that thing is not to be a wiser man. He needs to be wise and let God be the man in him for that task. And ladies, for you too. God is your life. He's not about to make you wise or strong or compassionate or anything. He wants to be that light. He wants to be that compassion. He wants to be that wisdom in you so that you won't take glory. Because if you take glory, your head's going to get real fat and you're going to fall on your face. And so He'll set things up, maybe like He did here with me this morning, so that you can't take glory. And then those people who are struggling to experience what life is, they'll see that and they'll think, wow, God's that ordinary? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. God could help me. He's helping that person. Could He do that for me? Yeah, absolutely. Who was that guy, Mel, you were visiting with and you told him that was a preacher? Who was that? Our schoolmate. Oh. Daryl. And so they're just talking and how things are going and everything. And he's asking, how's this person? How's that person? He says, well, how's Wayne? What's he doing? And Mel said, he's a pastor at a church in Duncan. And Daryl's response was, why does that scare me? He knew the me without God. In high school, he knew the me without God. Are you without God? What do people see? Don't hide the struggles or the mumbles or the wobbles. Don't do that. Don't be content with that. Be content in God in spite of the wheel that wobbles in your life. So, Joshua and Caleb, they figured that if God was going to give them the land, they should at least show up to receive it. Yes! Oh, gee, I don't think I could do that. Don't even go there. You won't be able to do 95% of the things God calls you to. Maybe 100% of the things He calls you to. But they will get done if you set yourself to the task and keep praying. Oh, yes. And as He continues to not show you enough to make you content, be content with that. Whether He shows you or not. Because God lives. He created us for His glory. It's not about us. It's about Him. Glorifying God, not making us comfortable or, oh, I can't even move. Of course it's going to be hard. It's going to be impossible. Set yourself to the task if you feel He's called you to it and continue to pray. Continue to pray. Sheena and that impossible trip she had looking after her son and all that. What were the angels again? I'm sorry, I keep asking this, but three people showed up to make her trip doable. Grace, joy, and patience. That was their names. and made the trip possible for her in three different situations. Let me just guess, you know, but I'm thinking you wanted to stay home and crawl under a couch somewhere and just have somebody else do it. You made the trek, and he made it happen. Beautiful, beautiful. We're just having fun. I just got started, but let's have our praise and worship, and have our potluck. But you see, it's not even about having everything prepared or not prepared of what we're going to do next. We had God's story in our midst this morning. He actually gave us a hands-on demonstration, not just from here, from Sheena and others that I've mentioned, how he works. He's been in our midst, as it were, walking through the chairs and touching our shoulder, touching our head. It's been beautiful. And, yeah. Well, I saw this verse this morning and I thought, hey, that's what we do here. And that's what happens here. So it's from 2 Chronicles in chapter 5. And it's how everything has been established here. Solomon's built a temple. And it came to pass when the priests came out of the most holy place. So down to verse 12. And the Levites, who were singers, and all those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, harps, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. Indeed, it came to pass, when the trumpeters and singers were as one, remember that, trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever," that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God.